All right, welcome back, everybody. It's a Tuesday night, chilly Tuesday night up where I'm at. My name's Jack. That's maybe the first thing. This is Talk Openly, and I'm here with my excellent and wonderful friend Daniel, who I just feel like immense gratitude for. When your face came up on the screen, I was just like, oh, that's right. Okay.
Aw, I
I'm
feel the
okay.
same way, Jack. I really do. It's my partner was asking me earlier today, like, hey, are you guys still having a good, like, do you still enjoy the show? Like, are you still having a good time doing that? Or is it kind of getting old? And I was just like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is amazing. It's like the difference, the way that I feel coming into a show and leaving a show, that alone is amazing. And then I feel like our conversations, the topics that we're talking about, it keeps, keeps my the Buddha Dharma sort of front and center in my mind, right? Because at least once a week, I'm having to come back to it, right, and talk about it and talk about application in real life, which is really what it's all about. And I find it immensely helpful and good and makes me happy. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, and I feel the same way. And I hope our listeners feel some kind of way like that as well. And we're just so glad that you're here. We are students of Lama Yeshe Jinpa at Lions Roar Dharma Center in Sacramento. I'm stumbling over my words because I've had a hard day. But we really, really want to welcome everyone there. And if the only way you can join us is online, that's fantastic too. So we're just really happy to be here. And tonight we're going to be talking about the topic of cultural conditioning. It's kind of a expansive topic. I'm looking forward to getting into it because I think there's, when I first was thinking about this topic, I was like, oh, it's all bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's all bad. There's nothing good. But it was nice to also think about like, okay, but I'm also here now, like it can't just be all bad, everything that I've experienced with my culture. I don't think that I would
No.
have met the Dharma without, some of the things that I've learned, right? So that was also cool to check out as well. So
Yeah.
we're gonna dive into it a little bit later. But first, I'd love to check in with you. How you doing?
I'm just like I said, I'm tickled to be here. And my week since the last time we talked has been good, has had, whatever ordinary life's up and downs, but I'm really pleased to say that my practice, my meditation practice is going really, really well. I am seeing some really cool results with it, and it's just really deepening, my appreciation for all of this. Is just I have so much gratitude for our teacher, the teachings, this incredible supportive community. Like I couldn't, I don't know how I lucked out, Jack. I really don't.
I know.
Yeah, I get it. Maybe good karma, all that. I got the causes and conditions are sufficient, right? But it sort of blows me away sometimes. I'm like, wow,
I
how in the
know.
world did I get into this, and how beautiful, how wonderful. I never could have imagined it, as I was growing up and throughout most of my adult life. I never knew this was here, and now I'm here. I'm just like, whoo, boy, this is cool. So there's that going on. And I was really cool at the last Wednesday, Matthew Cruz was leading a beginner's meditation group, and he was reading from a book. I don't know exactly which book it was, but it was meditation advice. And there was a basically the idea was presented that that it's really important to check our motivation for meditation. And that's not necessarily new, but what was neat about it was the suggestion to practice Tonglen before shamatha. So the way that my practice, my home practice is usually structured is that I do some shamatha, and then I do tonglen, and then I go back to shamatha. So it sort of like interrupts it, and that's cool. Nothing wrong with that. It's all good. But then I thought, well, I'm going to try this. It's, you know, sounds like good advice. And I have found that to be, I'm going to keep doing it. I have found it to be a very effective way at setting the tone and making sure that my motivation is clear and right.
Yeah. Well, and there's also something with Tong Lin that's like, well, it's just so engaging that I feel like it kind of wakes up the mind. And like you said, yeah, it's putting ourselves in like the right direction. Like, where do we want to go? Why am I doing this? Oh yeah, because it's about like not just me. Certainly I'm there. Like it starts with me. That's how I, start Tong Lin is with myself. But then we extend it out to everybody, and it's just so beautiful because I like that idea of putting it before shamatha, because then like you're just in this state of like, oh, I love everybody. Yeah.
No,
Where
including
else do I want
myself, right? Like that's
to
I dig it. You know, I think that it's sort of like you know, Sue Forrester, our friend, has these little physical exercises that she recommends doing before meditation. It's just this little set of like stretching and rolling your shoulders and your neck to loosen up and to make the body a little bit more pliable, right? A little bit better, you know. And I always found when I and I do that quite religiously before my practice, before my seated practice, because I find that it sort of jump starts me. Like it gets me there faster, right? Like I don't have to spend a lot of time with my body and trying settling down, because just that alone kind of sets the tone. And I notice that when I do that, and then I do the Tong Lin, and then I jump into the shamatha, I'm like, I'm already there. You
Yeah.
know, I'm like, whoo, okay. You know,
Yeah.
I don't have to spend a lot of time trying to center myself and balance and you know, calm down, because it's already sort of like it's already headed in that direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you speak, there's this real kind of funny comparison coming up that I'm thinking of is like, it's kind of like foreplay, right? Like
Oh, I love it.
you
I
don't
love
want to just
it.
like jump in there, right?
Jack,
I'm gonna let
that
one
is
ease
a
up.
beautiful, and I am so grateful that you said that. Exactly that. Right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you
thanks. I'm
want
good.
to get warm things up, get in the
Yeah.
mood, Like it, and then you're just like ready to be there.
I
So
am
perfect.
so going to use that. I will credit you when the time comes for sure, but I'm definitely going to use that.
Totally. Yeah, and it's I do think that shamatha and meditation is and can be like a very sensual experience
Yeah.
too. So it's like, it just makes a lot of sense that we're like preparing to be there
That's
and really
right. That's
be
right.
present for it. So
Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
that's great, Jack.
I like it.
This is the kind of stuff that makes this just so phenomenal. I love it.
Right.
It's like, oh, right. Yeah, exactly. You're sort of just like priming the pump, getting things started, right? You
Right,
don't just
right.
jump right in. That's how you kind of hurt things. Plus, it
Right.
doesn't set the mood right, you know?
Right, for sure. Yeah, I do have to say that I'm as of late I've been a little bit of kind of the wham bam meditator. So I'm working on that one. But a little bit of is time crunch, but no excuses. Like I'm not doing my preparation practices with much intention. I think that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that like I do some of the things, like I'll read the prayers, but I'm not really there for it, right? And so I think it's just so crucial for me to do both like that physical element of warming up and then Tong Lin, where it's a little bit more like you can't just recite Tong Lin. You really have to be engaged. It's hard to be distracted when you're doing Tong Lin, and really
Well,
there.
I'm going to disagree with you about that.
Yeah. Okay.
I think if you're doing Tong Lin right, then you will not be distracted. But I do actually notice I get distracted. Can I tell you one of the things that's been showing up in my Tong Lin practice?
Yeah, totally.
With the visualization, the form of the person that I'm working with will shift into another person completely.
Really?
Yeah, like where, and then it's just this sort of, it's like, I mean, like a completely different person. Like, I'm not saying
Wow.
So I just move, like it's almost like it's like a moving target. Like instead of locking in on just one person, it sort of begins to migrate, and it like, and that's distraction. I know it. I get it. I'm like, oh
Yeah.
no, my the visualization is not just like fuzzy. It's a
Yeah.
completely different person.
That's so interesting. Well, and now that you share a way that you get distracted in Tonglen, I noticed that the way that I might get distracted is that when I'm thinking about sending back like all the things that they might need, sometimes I'll get a little bit lost in it.
Oh.
You know? I'll be thinking about like, well, so they need like love and compassion and like all the stages of the path, but they also like need a place to live and like what would they like
Yeah.
in that place? You know, like in kind of like getting lost in those types of
That's
details.
so beautiful though. If and all the things that you can get lost in, the bright white or rainbow light and all the goodness that you
Yeah.
have to offer, that's a fine thing to get lost in. I myself get lost in the dark.
Oh yeah, like breathing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what do you like, what do you notice? Like you get lost in the kind of like
Late.
details of it or
Yeah.
just like,
Yeah,
yeah.
the labeling about the nature of their suffering and that kind of thing.
Right. I've noticed too where I've been a little bit like, do I even know that that's what they're suffering from?
No.
You know? So yeah, maybe it's better right now in our stage of training, or at least, you know, I'm thinking about myself. Maybe it is best just to imagine suffering as an amorphous
Yes, it
kind of
is.
smoke cloud rather than try and figure out what this person's suffering from. Because usually what I notice is that I'm being a little bit judgy, maybe.
Maybe there's judgment there, or there's like this certain sense of like you were kind of pointing to, which is I actually don't know in many
Yeah.
cases, right? Like I might have a vague idea of their challenges or anything, but really the truth of the matter is I know that they suffer in the same way I do.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So, generally speaking, though, your life, your practice, like I heard a little bit about it, but you want to share more?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I think I'm just a little bit blah with my training and once I'm there, it's like, okay, I can get in this. I can be here. But yeah, I do find some resistance around like really applying antidotes too while I'm there and like and showing up, you know? And so I'm having that little bit of a problem of just kind of checking the box issue. So I'm definitely that's one of my obstacles for sure is like I'm such a task oriented person and I don't want to just see this as another task. I really want to engage with the sacred and I think that's kind of where it might be good to for me and my kind of not too tight, not too loose trying to figure out like, okay, well, how do I engage more with the sacred? How do I really kind of like turn up the volume on that beauty, you know, rather than just the having the volume way up on the discipline of getting it done. So yeah, it's always kind of like playing with the knobs with those things. But yeah, otherwise, in my non-training kind of like practice, like post-meditation experience, it's been a really interesting week. I have a very good friend whose very good friend is in the hospital, was in the hospital. And she very rapidly declined and was on like full ventilator, all the things. She actually passed away tonight, around 4:30. And so I actually went and visited my friend and her friend the last few days that she's been in the hospital. And it's really incredible. Like when I, you know, broaden the focus out and realize that like there are so many people right now going through the same or similar experience of having to see a loved one pass. And it opened my heart, I think, in a lot. I actually asked Llama on Saturday. I had Darshan, and I asked Llama if it would be okay if I did Tara practice with this person, because she's actually she was also a Buddhist. And he gave me permission to do that. And so on Sunday I did Tara practice with her and my friend, and actually the attorney was there, her husband, and then my friend's husband, and everybody did Tara
Oh
practice.
my goodness.
It was so
Wow.
cool.
Wow.
I have to say I was pretty nervous. I think that being like the first time that I've done anything like that, I kind of it felt like a lot of responsibility, to kind of help see this person off. So that was really powerful. I feel incredibly grateful to this person that I could, be there with her and help facilitate, hopefully some positive mindset, on her way, onto the next journey. So yeah, that's been really good.
That's intense,
Yeah.
and you know what a, I mean, what about a that's a great practice, right?
Yeah.
That's amazing. What a wonderful experience. Bittersweet in many
Yeah,
ways. Yeah.
definitely.
I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
and thank you. It was interesting though. I also like I'm just so grateful for Llama. There were a couple times when I was feeling anxious about doing this that I reminded myself of what he said. He just kind of like very briefly mentioned it was when he recited the 21 praises to Tara for our Sangha friend who passed recently. And he said, "I have no doubts that this is helpful for her." And it was just this very kind of like brief, but it felt very potent to me that, like, oh yeah, I don't have to worry about like whether I'm doing it necessarily perfect. I don't have to worry about if my friend thinks some of the wording is weird. I
Right.
don't have to worry about that. That's
No.
not, it's not important.
No.
And sure enough, like that just really, really helped me when I was actually like reciting it. And then people were really appreciated the experience.
Yeah.
So yeah,
Wow.
good words from our teacher, and a very amazing opportunity I felt. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm a little bit in the heavy, but yeah, loving
Yeah.
place.
Yeah.
And we
Well.
all are gonna be going through this, hopefully not in that way.
Yeah,
But
well, hopefully when it's my turn, you'll do Tara practice with me.
oh yes, yeah, and same here, that was another thing before, I won't go too far into this, but definitely to all who are listening, please make sure to get your affairs in order early. Unfortunately, this person had not, and so it made things pretty challenging for my friend who was supporting her. So I definitely recommend having those conversations early and as detailed as you can be, because it really helps, I think, peace of mind for yourself, but also
Yeah.
your loved ones. Yeah.
Thanks for that advice.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Whew.
Huh.
We're gonna take a deep breath. Yeah. Thanks for listening. I see this is a wonderful time to do some Lojong.
It is. It is. What a
Yeah.
nice diversion.
Yeah. When I
Okay.
was thinking about that today too, where it's like, we get these really big opportunities to practice Lojong, like someone passes or someone's born, like there's very big changes, but
Yeah.
Lojong is a moment by moment training.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah.
All day
All the
and
things.
all night long. All right, so we are on the random Lojong slogan generator page, and I'm going to press the magic button.
Woo.
Oh,
All right. Another new one. I'm so
new one.
excited. So this is number 57. Don't react impulsively with anger or irritation. What do you mean? This is my whole life. Okay, so Trala Kyabgon, which it looks like here he's got this book, The Practice of Lojong, Cultivating Compassion Through Training the Mind, which I need to get that. That would be a good read.
It is, and on the website, it's actually linked here.
Oh,
So
fantastic.
look at that. There's the
Oh,
book.
Dirk is so smart.
Yes.
So he says about this slogan, it's not necessary to always react impulsively, allowing our instinctual responses to get the better of us. We tend to think anger is empowering, but recurrent anger only has a toxic effect on our body and mind and gradually reduces our self-esteem so that we feel more vulnerable, threatened, and prone to pervasive feelings of insecurity. I have to say, I think it's really sweet that he says it's not necessary to always react impulsively. It's just such like a little gentle kind of nudge in the right direction.
I think this one is really straightforward, and talk about, having many opportunities to practice Lojong mind training. Those when we do so, even though it's not necessary to always react impulsively, we do sometimes react impulsively. And I think that when we catch ourselves, right? We see, oh, look at that. I reacted impulsively. I was angry and or irritated. And lo and behold, look, this is how it all went. Like, and I didn't have to do that. And that's that mind training. It doesn't, we don't have to have a lot of shame or anything around. It's just be like, okay, yeah, right. That's not the way I want to be, I had an experience with my partner this morning, actually. We were out for a walk. And I did something that, like, I went down some philosophical rabbit hole that irritated her. She was just like, oh my God, like, that's not helpful. That is not what I want to, that's not the right response to what I was saying or something like that. And I was like, ah, well, fine. I guess that's just that's how she is right now or something. There was this sort of reaction on my end that was very, very sort of typical, where I just sort of like, all right then, fine. And then I had this opportunity, and this is one of the best things about having other people that you are practicing with. If you can listen to their feedback, and then I was able to sort of be like, oh right, actually I see my role in this as well, right? Like, I make it instantly about the other person. But no, it's actually Tantra teaches us it's about the dynamic. It's the energy exchange. It's, I'm not ever separated from it, right? And so there is something to do with me in all of that, right? And so, yeah, being able to self-reflect in moments of irritation or anger, any of the other sort of negative emotions.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I'm thinking about something that happened recently, where one of my typical kind of impulsive thoughts, is that I feel like people are going to be mad at me about things. Like I'm always kind of worried about people's judgment. And just this weekend, my roommates and I were leaving to go out to dinner with some friends, and I had to go run inside like twice because I forgot something, and I could tell that my roommate was annoyed. But then I was like, and I was feeling a little bit annoyed by her annoyance, right?
That
And
yes. Right.
then I was like, wait a minute. I would be annoyed too. Just drop it. You gotta go inside. You're a human. You forget things. Just drop it. And then I was able to come back and just start anew. And, you know, we had a great conversation, you know? So it was just like, okay, I don't need to get into that victim state, right? Where it's like, oh, they're just crappy. They don't understand that I'm having a hard time, you know? You know, all the
Yes,
things.
right. That's exactly it. That's
Yeah.
exactly it. Which,
Yeah. We don't need to do it. We
yeah.
don't. Yeah. Well, that was a helpful one. I like that one.
That is a good one. I
Yeah.
like that it's so straightforward.
Me too. Yeah. And yeah, some of Lojong is so straightforward. And then some of it is so like obtuse to me, where I'm like, I cannot even like I can barely bite off the edge of this. So yeah, it's kind of nice to get one of those sometimes that's just like, don't get mad.
Right. Get even. No.
No, Daniel.
No. That's the habitual reactivity.
And that's, if I am remembering, is a Taylor Swift lyric and on her one of her recent albums. But I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. So
I do love Tay Tay.
I do love Taylor. She's great. Well, I think actually that's a great Lojong slogan for the topic we're going to be talking
Indeed.
about tonight. Acting impulsively, not acting out of anger. You know, I would say that some of my cultural conditioning around those things, acting impulsively, yeah, it does certainly seem kind of like a cultural thing, at least something that I get from my father. But yeah, I think there is something in American culture sometimes that's like, just stand your ground, right? You know, no matter what it is, you know, just like get behind your gun. I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit rude. But yeah, there is, I feel that way sometimes where we do get into this, we're kind of a bully, but we also see ourselves as a victim. And I've definitely taken on some of that in my own experience as an individual. But we've got plenty to talk about
Oh
tonight.
my
So
God, it's
there's
endless.
so many ways that we could go.
Yeah, well, you know, because cultural conditioning is so broad, you know, it's there, and then there's all these different sort of like socializing agents that are like the agents of conditioning, like our families and our schools and all of that. And yeah, you know, I like to think, I was thinking about it earlier today, so I'm really into computers and computer programming. Stuff like that. I was kind of thinking, like, all right, so like, if we were going to use computers and software and stuff as a metaphor here, then cultural conditioning, it kind of works with this, like, there's like this framework, right? And the framework is like the operating system, and it gets installed early, and it kind of like runs in the background, right? Like, we're not really super aware of it. It's what allows like the hardware and the software all to do what it does. And then you have all these different agents, right? So that's like the values and the beliefs and stuff, the American culture, if you will. And then you have all the different software applications, and that's like your school, that's your family, that's your church, that's your job, that's your media that you consume, or whatever. Those are like the applications. And then you have like, you know, individual preferences, like the way that it shows up. That's like different settings and different backgrounds, screensavers, whatever, right? But then you have like malware, right? You know, like, you know, viruses and things like that that lead to corruption. It leads to unwanted, non-helpful behavior. And then you have like upgrades and patches, right? So that there's room for growth and fixing things. And then my favorite, which is what I experienced when I came to Lion's Roar, which is a system overhaul, where you just wipe the old operating system out, install something fresh, different.
Beautiful. And of course, as we know, some of that malware gets stuck behind, doesn't it?
It's hidden. And it's hidden,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, we oftentimes don't know it's there. It also starts to run in the background. And I've touched on this with the last in the last couple of weeks when talking about driving. And I think this is sort of the perfect topic for what I've been experiencing there, which is, a big part of our conditioning is not just like our beliefs and our values and things like that, but it's also our biases, right? And that what I've been noticing more and more is my implicit bias, right? So I'm not explicitly biased, and I don't think that I haven't been for a long time, right? Meaning like there I don't I'm not sitting there saying, I'm not like talking openly about like how like thinking even openly, about how I'm better or my culture's better or my gender or whatever, right? And it's not like that. But it shows up, this implicit bias shows up, and it's so pernicious, and it's hidden deep in the background, right? That I have these opportunities where I'm like, no, really, like, dude, you're racist, you're sexist, like, look at that, right? I'm not overtly, right? I'm not trying to be, but that when situations present themselves, when I get a chance to catch myself, I can see my conditioning,
For
right?
sure.
And this kind of conditioning, think about how deep it is. Like here in American culture, right? What is it? It's built on slavery, and sexism is like deep, 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 right?
Deep is
Deep,
deep.
right? And I am that. That's part of like my operating system includes that,
Me
right? And
too.
yeah, it's so freaking, oh, it's so frustrating, right?
I
Like
know.
you can't just wipe it away. Right.
Yeah, it's disturbing. I'm so grateful that you're open about it too, and because I'm trying to be more open about it to myself as well. And something that was really helpful was that Lama gave a talk one time where he mentioned all the different ways that he's sexist to racist, or he didn't list details, but he was just like, yeah, and I'm a older white like sexist or racist. We're like, that's the
I
condition
want
we're
to hear
in.
that. Oh
I
my
know.
gosh.
I want to find it. Because it's really destigmatizing, right? To hear like, okay, I'm not this like effed up person. Actually, it's like the water that we swim in,
Yeah,
right? Is like
that's right.
we've been raised to see these things. And even though like I'm somewhat hard pressed to find like very explicit examples from my childhood coming from my parents that were like very racist or sexist. When I think that, when I speak it out loud, I'm like, hey, wait a minute, there were a couple things, right? Like that I can think of for sure. But for the most part, right? Like both of my parents were very much kind of like on the socially progressive side in some ways, not about queer people, but around like race. But there's just such a difference in how that actually plays out with like, well, why are the conditions for these people still terrible? Like, if we believe that we're all equal, why is this still happening? And so yeah, I think for my parents, it was very much like, well, if there's Black folks or like immigrants who are having a hard time, that's their fault.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So that was very much kind of like ingrained in me, is that like, if there's people who like are not down with America, and our way of life, then that's their fault, right? And that's why they're suffering. And so I grew up with that kind of like I think what's the word? Supremacy, I would say, actually,
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
right? Like, whereas like, oh, I'm kind of, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. Like, I'm a good person. That's why I'm, I don't know, good at my education and all the things. Why I can get a job. But those weren't explicit messages, right? They were the implicit messages.
That's right.
And so yeah, it's just fascinating. But what that does is it creates so much anxiety. I don't know if that's what's happened for you, but for me, it's like once it, like I started seeing these ways that I was implicitly thinking, it was like, oh my God, this is
Yeah.
terrible. I
Yeah.
do not like this. I do not. And so it's
It
been a
it's
real, yeah.
it is so there's so much of it that and it takes so many different kinds of forms because even within the implicit let's just say within implicit racism, for example, I notice these different forms that it takes, right? Where sometimes the implicit racism has a bit of a more overt aspect to it,
Sure.
right? Like it has this more explicit aspect to it where like I it's a kind of like more like it feels a little bit more like normal racism or standard racism, whatever you might want to call it, but operating in the background, right? That's similar to, oh well, it's just, there's a reason it is they're like that, or something like that, right? That you might hear like an old white man say.
Yeah.
But then there's, if you think about it, it's also like it operates, and this is true across the board. It's not just about racism, but like I noticed that my opinions about what's good, what's beautiful, what's right, what is, like all that, what's wrong, whatever, right? All of my sort of opinions, they're all based upon this dualistic setting apart, like and differentiating, right?
Yeah.
And that's the sort of the source of all these problems, right? Is that particular mindset, this comparison? I have identified with my conditioning heavily, right?
Totally.
And is in fact who I am, my ego is this conditioned being. Yeah, okay, I recognize I'm not just conditioned by culture, I'm conditioned by karma, I'm conditioned by my own mind, I'm conditioned by the environment, I'm conditioned by all of these things, but I'm a conditioned being in many ways, right?
Yeah.
And it, so when I really begin to watch my mind, when I do Lojong and I'm seeing it, it's actually almost all the thoughts,
It's almost what?
all of the thinking.
Yes. Yeah.
It is almost all of it is like, I'm not saying I'm like sitting there being super sexist or racist or whatever all the time, but I am drawing the, I am making the, I'm not being discerning. There's nothing wrong with discernment, right? Or awareness of differences. Like that's fine, but
Yeah.
there is judgment,
Judgment, yeah, for
it is
sure.
there and it's chronic. It's just like always on, always. So when I look at my thoughts, when I catch my thinking, I can see it is judging most of the time.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, me too. One area that I find that this really shows up for me is like just really highly valuing my individualism
Yes.
and
Oh, wow.
my autonomy, that
Yeah.
like those are things that I have to say, like when I really examine how I see people who have to, for various reasons, really rely on other people, there's a lot of judgment there. And even like impatience too. And that's not the mindset that I want to have, but it is the one that I have been conditioned to have.
Yeah.
And so it shows up even physically where, where it's kind of like a little bit of aversion towards people who need more help, which is interesting because that's the job that I have, is
Yeah.
that I help people who need more help in this world that really privileges people who have, who are able to be very individual and shuns people who, that's not their center.
Oh, Jack.
So
Oh, you were
this
pointing at something that
Uh-oh.
I feel what you're saying. I took this quiz. I took a one of those Harvard quizzes that we've talked about way back when
Yeah.
to see whether or not I'm biased against disabled people.
Yeah.
And the score, came up like you're moderately, bias against disabled people, or you tend to favor a more able-bodied people, or however that's phrased, right? But actually, I think the test was wrong. I think I actually have a strong, I think it's actually, it's somehow I didn't quite measure it right. I think there's actually a stronger aversion, or a stronger sort of like, and it's rooted in what you just said, right? It's rooted in this like, they need more, right? Yeah, they're more dependent on, right? And and the world has to accommodate them somehow. And there's this, oh my God, it's disgusting to even like to look at it,
I
right?
know.
Yeah.
And how incredible too that like you and I are one accident away from being in that exact same position. You know, we are no different
Right.
than the people that I kind of in, you know,
That's
in
right.
the very implicit subconscious way I'm turning
That's
my
right.
nose up at.
And that's one of the criticisms within, we're not going to get into politics, right? But one of the criticisms of the modern sort of Republican Party in the United States is that they don't care about anything until it affects somebody individually, personally, right? Until it's personally relatable. And now I can relate to that, right? That
Totally.
in the same way, until I become disabled, I'm gonna have these prejudices, these biases, these beliefs, and these values, right? Because I'm not like I somehow I can't see our interconnectedness. I can't see, that we're all dependent on each other, right? Like I can talk good talk, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, right, my when I really examine my mind, I can see that it's still actually not believing truly. It's not living that life, right? So
Right.
I recently mentioned that. So I'm in the process of going bankruptcy, right?
Right.
And so there's a certain sense of loss there, right? Okay, so things aren't, I don't have all the things that all the sort of the assets that I had before. And I'm more dependent on other people now,
Yeah.
right? And thankfully, I have, yeah, wonderful family, friends, community that are more than willing to help me out, right?
Yeah.
And it's a humbling experience of like, because I've always been, oh, I'm so me, me, me. It's just about me. I could do this all by myself. I did this all by myself. And you guys all suck because you're not as good as me, right? That's
Yeah.
been me all along. And then there's this humbling experience of like, right, actually I need other people, right? And that there's nothing wrong with needing other people. In fact, it's beautiful and
Yeah.
it's good, right? And that individual, that rugged individualism, right, that is so dominant, so rampant in American society, it's unhealthy.
It is. Yeah,
Right.
we're dying from loneliness
Yes, we are.
in this
Yes.
culture.
Literally, literally.
Literally, yeah. I heard some statistic that loneliness is as dangerous for your health as smoking
Yes.
15 cigarettes a day.
That's right. That's right.
That's really, really big.
It's huge.
And
We're
it
not meant to live like that,
We're
Jeff.
not. We're not. And I see this in my dad. He really is just like has such a hard time asking for help. And very much isolates himself. And I really want to shake him, but I also at the same time see the exact same thing in me, where I'm like, I just want to be by myself.
Yeah.
I can do it, I'm good. Like I even it's so interesting. Like there's been times where like my partner has like been helping me get ready in the morning. And if I'm in like kind of a bad mood, I'll literally feel like repulsion
Yeah.
for his help. Like I'm just like, stop. I want to take all
Yeah.
of it back and say, like, don't even help me, like get out of here,
That's
Like
right.
it's really that strong sometimes. And it's like, God, this is, something I need to work on or want to work on.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the Dharma is so wonderful in kind of revealing this interdependent nature, that, we are not these like soul autonomous beings. The only way that we're here is through one another.
Yeah,
And
we're creating each other.
we're creating each other, yeah. Yep, I know. So yeah, that's a huge one for me. One I get really sticky
That
with.
one's deeply entrenched within our culture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I feel you on that one. And I
Yeah.
see it too. I see it in my family members as well. It's one of the things that I'm actually really grateful to some of them that are still hardcore individualists in the same way that you described your father. Oftentimes we are sort of like reacting, or we're trying to be other than our parents, for example, right?
Yeah.
Be something else. I don't want to be like my dad, for example. And it's in that way I'm really grateful, because I by looking and seeing how harmful that individualism is, it has opened me up to these aspects of this, to this interdependence, right? Like, it softened me up a little
Yeah.
bit. Like, I still have a long ways to go, but the difference between being so isolated and alone and disconnected and hating other people, right? Oh, people suck so bad. And then realizing, like, no, actually, that's not how it is. That was just your delusional mind, dude. It wasn't like that, right? And
Yeah.
I heard this phrase. I don't know exactly where I heard it, but I really liked it. And it's actually, it alludes to your foreplay comment from earlier, which is that, a lot of us go through the world kind of thinking that that it's like a battlefield of some sort, right? And that we have to, like, it's dangerous. Everybody's out to get us and whatever. It's this like zero sum game, right? And you got to take from others if you're going to gain. Like, there's that perspective, and that's rampant throughout our culture, right?
Very much so.
But that we can actually adopt this view where we see the world as our lover,
Yeah.
and that it's incredibly sensual and rich, right? But that we can't just get in there, and we
Yeah.
can't force it. We do have to approach it in the right way.
Yeah.
But in those moments where there's that sort of that resistance or whatever, that sort of buildup, those are like kind of like what you mentioned with like where somebody's helping you out and you're like, no, let me do it, I'm on my own. Those are beautiful moments, actually, to sort of like stop, right? And be like, wait, actually, this is my lover, right? Even if it's not your technically your lover.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that there really is so much love all around us. And I kind of I notice that sometimes in just like the most mundane of some activities. Like even, like something like going to the grocery store and having just small talk with like the checker or something. There's a lot of love there to just be like, you know what, we're gonna do this together for a couple minutes. So let's just be kind, and like maybe even get something, like it through its dynamic. And I really love that, yeah, so we need each other and we can see each other,
Yeah,
with that.
and all of these other beings, these other people that we're interacting with, they're mirrors in many ways, right? So if we can polish ourselves and clean up our act a little bit, we'll find that it turns out all these terrible people that were so other, so different and so whatever, bad and stupid and wrong and all of that. When we drop that, and when we let some of that go and we try to see things as they are, we'll see, we'll see the sacred, right? We want to view the world as sacred, right? Every aspect of it, there's no part that's not. And that's our perspective. It's not like it's inherently sacred, right? Like, that's not the point, right? It's we who make it sacred. Right. And so when we do that, like when we meet with a checker and at the stand or whatever, right? Like, dropping all that, like noticing, oh, look at that. I've got a bunch of bullshit running through my head right now. Right. Noticing it. That's great. That's why we meditate. That's why we do all this practice. Right. Then we see it and we're like, oh my God, look at that crazy delusional mind. It's covering up, it's covering my windshield, right? I can't see clearly. And then we wipe it clear. And we can see the beautiful, sacred lover on the other side, right? And we can then embrace them in this, even if it's just for a minute or two, right? And those experiences, Jack, just like you said, they're magical,
For
right?
sure. Yeah, there's so many when like we really when I really make an effort to drop this belief that really runs like you were saying, it kind of runs in the background for me that the world is dangerous,
Yes.
other people are dangerous and are out to just like use me. And I'm able to drop that a little bit and become conscious of it to drop it. I actually, what I see around me for the most part is a lot of goodness.
Yes.
Like I see people helping each other, and this is like on my walk in the middle of like the Skid Row basically of Seattle, like to
Yeah.
get to work. And you see people just helping each other. Like it is so often like that. That's the majority. Like, sure, there's the
Yeah.
stuff that's like challenging or a little bit frightening, but for the most part, it's people really trying to help each other get by. It's incredible.
It's true. It's true. And in those moments where they're not helping each other, right, that are more difficult, I think it's really a wonderful exercise to sort of test the validity of this theory that everyone has Buddha nature, right? Because when people are behaving, like let's just say somebody's super angry, screaming at somebody else, and whatever, doing the kinds of things that really like alarm us or make us feel like, oh, there's something wrong with them, right? Can we see that actually their motivation, they want goodness, they're trying to get something good for themselves or for somebody else,
Yeah.
and they're just not able to, right? There's something blocking it. There's something, some either they don't have the skill or they don't see clearly enough, whatever the case might be. It's there. They're trying to act out of goodness in almost all these cases, right? Like I would suggest maybe all of them, is that they are in fact motivated by this Buddha nature, but that they can't quite get it. And that, if we can see that, then that should give rise to this compassionate, right? This
Oh,
compassionate heart. And that's our bodhicitta, right? This loving, compassionate, awake being who
yeah.
can then see, like, oh, wow, I see your suffering and I see the source of your suffering, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
let me see, can I help?
It really blossoms, doesn't it?
Really does
Yeah.
exactly that. And
Yeah.
oh, mm.
Yeah, that makes me think of another one of the programs that runs for me is that I definitely have seen how profit driven our culture is and how that has really been built into my system. And that, our culture and our certainly our economic system is not about human well-being.
No,
It's
no,
not.
no.
It's about profit and I don't know if you watched John Oliver, but he did a great bit on Boeing and how Boeing, the aircraft manufacturer, has had all these issues in the last few years about like they've really increased the profit for their shareholders, but the quality of their planes has gone
Yeah.
down. And so it's just like that's such a perfect example of like when we value profit over life, like that's a huge problem. And so I was, thinking about how easy it is to just see like those people who are suffering on the streets as like a drain on our economy, like a
Yeah.
drain on like all these services that folks end up needing, instead of saying, well, like, why is that in the first place? And like what could we do to make sure that this doesn't happen to people? If our focus was that, which I really believe, that's the focus of Shambhala, the enlightened society, is let's build a society where like the well-being of all of us is at the center. It would just be incredible, wouldn't it? It's like it makes me a little bit emotional to think about like what would
Yeah,
happen.
and speak, it's similar to, so on one side it's easy to say, well, Shambhala, that's just a dream, that's just a vision. But I've heard Lama suggest the same thing as he did with the Tara practice, which is there's no confidence, there's no doubt about it, right? It's possible, right? It is possible. there is a way to build that enlightened society. And you, me, and anybody who's listening to this are an integral part of that process. We have to have the confidence. We can't just throw up our hands and say, well, the world is just, it's this, like this, it's always like, it's whatever, and I don't have a role to play. No, we need to have the confidence, right, to say like, yeah, actually I do. I have, there's something for me to do here, even if it's just cleaning up that stupid program, right? Cleaning out the bugs, patching, getting some upgrades, whatever it is, right? Like, even if that's the only role that we have to play is just fixing ourselves, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. No, I love that. And I've been thinking so much lately about that fact that no one is coming to do it for us.
No.
There's no Jesus coming to do it for us. There's no president who's coming to do it for us. We have to do it. If we're going to change things, we have to do it ourselves. But you're right, is that it can be as simple as, you know what? I'm going to choose to try and think differently about this and about other people. That's huge because when we change our thoughts about something, that miracle, right? Of, the
Yes,
what Lama often brings up is that miracle of changing the negative thought to a positive thought. When we're able to do that, like the effects that it has on the people around us is huge. My relationships with people at work, with clients, is I can tell when I'm having a day that I'm actually grounded in Dharma, right? Because my interactions with people are different
you're
in a
rippling. You're
way.
rippling, and they're big ripples. Exactly that. I know that we didn't actually touch on what you wanted to touch on, which was all the benefits of our cultural, social conditioning.
We had too much to talk about.
There was so much to talk about, but I do want to offer this up. I do think, although there's benefits, obvious, right? There's social stability and there's knowledge transfer and whatever. There's all kinds of stuff that are part of cultural conditioning within the relative world. It has its good side. But one of the things, just from like a personal point of view, is it's similar to that whole, if you don't get lost, you can't be found. If you don't get conditioned, you'll never understand the unconditioned, right? Like,
I love that.
right.
I
So
love
like,
that.
thank goodness that we were conditioned, right?
Yes.
Okay. We know that all can now we recognize all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, now, it gives us this opportunity. Now we get to meet the Dharma. We get to practice, right? We get to bring Shambhala, at least a Shambhala vision to life and be a part of that, right? Like if we, if we'd always remained in the unconditioned, we wouldn't have had this opportunity.
That's right. I think Lama has said before, you have to know who you are, or you have to know yourself in order to, discover the no self.
That's right.
And so, yeah, we've got to know what conditioned us, what's there, what we'd like to change. And like you said, have confidence.
That's right. We
We
can
can
do
do
it. We're
this.
doing it. We
We
can
are
do
doing it.
it. Just keep plugging away. Effort, effort, effort is key,
That's
right?
right.
What was it? Okay, so Lama reminded us on Sunday of what the Buddha's last words were. All conditioned phenomena are impermanent. Practice diligently. I think maybe it was all maybe it's not conditioned even. It's all say the other word.
It works.
Yeah, it
It
does.
works. Well, this has been a really great talk.
Composite, composite.
Composite. Okay. Yep. I know. I knew you were gonna come up on it. This has been really helpful. I feel like there's plenty more to talk about, but what we did talk about felt really fruitful to me. So
Yeah.
I appreciate it a lot.
I feel inspired.
Me too.
Yeah. Telling you,
And
man, this is
how great too that we can be transparent about these things. Like
oh.
it's okay to talk about like the things that you feel are so like nasty and bad down in there.
Hey, that's right. We want to be naked with our lover.
Yeah. Turns out, yeah, we've all got
Right? We could
it.
be transparent. We could be,
Yeah.
sure. Let's
Yeah.
carry that theme forward. Let's be transparent and naked to the world.
I love it. I love it. All right, my friend. Take care of yourself this week.
Same to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you lots.
Appreciate it too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.